Welcome to this edition of Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I am excited to have John Nardini coming back as our guest today. John is the founder and president of FreeMoneyFinance.com, one of the leading financial blogs in the country. Also, one who has been trained by Christian Financial Concepts. So we're very proud to have John on the program today. And we're going to talk about ways to save money and reduce expenses. But before we get there in this opening segment today, I wanted to talk to you about a question I recently had about wealth in the Scripture. It's interesting because God never condemns having wealth. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. I think there's certainly a lot of misinformation about it and wrong teaching in regard to prosperity. But listen to Proverbs 10:22. It's the blessing of the Lord that brings wealth, and He adds no sorrow to it. I think what many people don't remember is that our late co-founder, Larry Burkett, that was his life verse, Proverbs 10:22. It was a verse that Larry said he personally experienced as he walked with the Lord and experienced the riches that come only from Christ. Larry said that when you experience the wealth of the Lord, you know it comes from God. And when it comes from Him, it's never accompanied by fear, by worry, by strife, by anger, because you realize, you know in your heart that you didn't create it, but you've been given this incredible privilege to steward it. And Larry went on to say that he thought wealth was a lot different than just owning possessions, because most of us think, and when we even use the word, we think of wealth as what we own or what we possess. But Larry said he viewed wealth, biblical wealth, as a combination of two things. First, it was our creative ability and the trust that other people have in us. In other words, it was our creativity and our character that created wealth, and both are an extension of your personality that's submitted to God. And according to our personality, that wealth could be used for things that were destructive or corrupted, or we could use it to build up and to expand and to multiply the way God intended for us to use the wealth that is within our own personhood. And I just love that definition, because all of you listening today are wealthy in God's sight. He's given you creativity and character and wants you to use it to multiply His kingdom. When we come back, you're going to hear from John Nardini about how to save money. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is John Nardini. He is the founder of FreeMoneyFinance.com, and we recently spoke to him about ideas to increase your income. It was a wonderful program drawing from his great experience and personal application of God's principles in his life. But we both recognized that what you need to do is to do two things, not just increase your income, but to control your expenses. And John's going to come back today and talk to us about controlling expenses and how to spend less. John, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate you having me.
I know on your blog you've got a lot of ways to save money. How many ways do you have, John?
Well, I was looking at that the other day, and I have about 700 or so money-saving tips, so I think we probably have pretty much time to get through all those, don't you think?
I don't know if we can get through all of them today, John. By the way, I need to know all 700 of them, and I'll certainly go to your blog to learn more. But what I want to get to today is one of your posts was called The 10 Most Hated Ways to Save Money. And normally if something's not real desirable, it's probably pretty effective. So let's go through that list today, John. What are some of the most hated ways to save money, but very effective ways to do it?
All right, let me start off with number one, which is to move to a lower cost of living city. And people dislike this idea because they love their cities, which is great. People love living where they are. But it's a fact of life. If you look at the numbers, there are cities that are very, very expensive to live in compared to others. So, for example, New York, San Francisco, Boston, those cities are tremendously expensive to live in because of taxes and transportation, entertainment, housing, all those sorts of things. And, yes, those cities on average have higher incomes than smaller cities, but the cost of living is much higher than the increase you get by working in that city. So move to a smaller city. Even if you take a salary decrease, you're going to end up better in the long run because your costs are going to go way, way, way down.
And I think one of the benefits of that, if you can move to a lower cost city but still maintain your income through self-employment or some other way, that that's the best option, where you're not moving to a lower cost of living city and also having a dramatic decline in your income.
Well, and that's quite doable today, too. I had several people comment on my site that, you know, there are so many people that telecommute today or work remotely, and with technology the way it is, it's very possible to move from a big city to a much smaller city, keep the same exact job you have, just do it remotely now.
Well, I agree with you on this second most hated way to save money. Tell us what it is.
Oh, good. Well, it is don't buy a pet. And if you have a pet and you're thinking about getting another one, don't get another one. The SPCA, which is obviously a very pet-friendly organization, says that the average cost for a middle-sized dog is around $1,000 per year, and that includes all the startup costs, all the costs of a dog's life, but, you know, into then the final end-of-life care, which is becoming an ever-increasing bigger portion of costs for a pet owner, because there are all sorts of procedures that used to really not even be done on humans that are now being done on pets that cost thousands and thousands of dollars. But having a pet is an expensive proposition. People don't usually think about it, but it's $1,000 per year commitment pretty much.
Well, I agree with you that it is expensive, and I would hate to have to save money on that, although in these economic times, I think it's things we need to consider. We fall in love with our pets. We take great care of our pets. And as you say, they are expensive. So it is an area that we typically don't think about in terms of cutting back on.
Right. It's unfortunate now. I've seen articles with the way that the economy is that people are turning their pets in. And you don't want to have that situation. So I just advise people, you know, if you have a pet, I'm not saying to get rid of it. I'm just saying before you get one, be sure you understand the costs and that, you know, you have a bunch of cushion, because a pet is much more expensive than people generally believe.
Well, what's the number three most hated way to save money, John?
Is a limit small spending. People don't like this one because it takes all the fun out of life. But you're probably familiar with personal finance guru David Bach, who came up with the latte factor.
Sure.
Spend $5 a day on a Starbucks, and that $5 over time just adds up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. This idea is similar to that. And we used to do it. In fact, I think I learned this from our Christian Financial Concepts training, is that the first 30 days of someone setting a budget, they carry around a notebook and they write down every single thing they spend. And the reason they do that is because small spending, or a dollar here, $2 there, $3 there, 50 cents there, all of that just kind of seeps out of people's pockets. And it doesn't take very much until those, you know, days add up to weeks and months and years, and those dollars earn up in hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars and tens of thousands of dollars. So if you can control your daily small spending and really be focused on what you want to spend on and not letting other expenses crop up, you will save a tremendous amount over the course of the year.
Give up on those personal indulgences. All right, number four. What's the number four most hated way?
Is take your lunch to work. I mean, I take my lunch to work almost every single day, and it costs us $3 or so per day for my lunch versus, you know, $8 to $10 to $15 to eat out. So it's an easy way to save a boatload of money, and you can do it very quickly.
And do you like your lunch,
John? I love my lunch. I love my lunch so I can prepare exactly what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what else?
Number five, which this one is very unpopular as well, is cut your cable. I think it's part of the Declaration of Independence that says that everyone's entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness through watching endless reruns on cable television. But people don't like this idea because they think you're taking all the fun out of life. But what I would say is, especially if you're really in a tough financial situation, you need to consider the cost. And I read the other day that the average American spends $70 per month on cable television. That's a big amount of money. And it's very difficult to justify that, especially in someone's on the brink of not being solvent, to say, yeah, well, I have to have cable. So cut your cable, go to the library, get some books, read them with your family, play games, whatever it might be. You'll probably have a better family life and enjoy life more without it anyway. And if you have to have it, then cut it from $70 a month to $20 per month. You'll save $50 every month. $600 a year would be a great addition to your budget.
Well, John, it's not only the cost of the money coming out of your pocket, the $70 a month, but it's the opportunity cost. You can't start that extra business. You can't do that moonlighting. You can't create the extra income if your time is consumed watching other people entertain you on TV. Ann and I gave up TV almost 10 years ago, and quite honestly, we haven't missed it. How about you? Do you have cable?
We don't have cable. We have rabbit ears, so we get three or four channels. But you know, my parents have cable, so when we go to their house, they actually have a satellite, so they have 500 channels, and you know what? There's nothing on that I want to watch anyway. So I think we're good with our rabbit ears for now, and as a family, we're considering maybe not even having TV in our household for a while.
Well, you're listening to John Nardini, and we're talking today about the 10 most hated ways to save money, to drive down those household expenses. I'm Chuck Bentley. This is Money Life. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is John Nardini. He's the founder of freemoneyfinance.com. And John, we're talking about the 10 most hated ways to save money. You've already hit some of the ones that I hate, but in fact do those things in order to save more money. Let's jump back into the list, John. What's number six?
Six is buy a house you can afford. And this one used to be a lot more hated than it is now. People are kind of seeing the wisdom in this point, you know, now that we've been through the housing problems over the past year or so. But generally, people used to want to buy the biggest possible house they could. They would take the number that the bank would tell them and say, oh, well, the bank says I can borrow that. That must be the right amount that I can borrow, versus figuring out what they really thought they could afford in their budget. So my suggestion is to, if you're thinking about buying a house, step back, look at your budget beforehand. You decide what you can reasonably afford to pay off. I like to always pay off at least 15 years, too, instead of 30. So see what you can pay off in 15 years and then buy an appropriate-sized house based on that, not based on the money the bank is willing to give to you.
You know, John, I grew up with a term that I remember my father saying, you know, he never wanted to be a slave to the mortgage. And because it's a big, big item. It's the largest purchase we ever make. And Dad always wanted to buy conservatively and to buy under our means. And it was something that seemed to get lost in our thinking, didn't it?
It sure did. And I can tell you one of the biggest blessings of our married life has been, and we learned this principle early on from Christian Financial Concepts, that you wanted to be debt-free. If you could get to the point where you were totally debt-free, it would just be liberating. And about 10 years ago, we paid off our mortgage. We lived in Tennessee at that time. We paid off our mortgage. We lived a couple years there without a mortgage. And then when we moved, we bought our house for cash from the sale of the house in Tennessee. And we haven't had a mortgage for over 10 years now. And it has been liberating. It's been freeing. There's nothing like it not to have to worry about making a monthly payment.
Well, there's so many like you out there, John, and I'm just, again, privileged to hear your testimony that God's used this ministry in your life in such a great way. Now, let's help our listeners. Let's get through this list. Number seven, most hated way to save money.
Next one is to buy used. People like things that are new, especially in America, but you can save a tremendous amount of money by buying used. Our favorite is to go to a consignment store like a Goodwill. My wife recently purchased a high-end jacket for my son for the winter. He's used it for two winters now for about, I think it was $6. It would have cost, it didn't have the tags on it yet, but it looked like it was totally brand new. It would cost somewhere in the 100 to 110 range if we would have bought it new from the name brand manufacturer.
Yeah.
There are tons of things like that that are very slightly used, that are great, great values that people should take advantage of.
Well, that one wouldn't be on my list of most hated because we, in fact, like to do that. We like to get a good deal.
Yeah.
We like to keep things in circulation that need to be in circulation, and we love to support those causes that are selling those used items. What's number eight on your list?
Number eight is to quit smoking. And smoking is becoming less and less popular. I think everyone agrees that smoking is bad for your health. But there are other costs, even just besides the fact that cigarettes cost a lot of money, that can save a ton of money. Smart Money magazine said you can save around $6,000 a year between life insurance, health insurance, auto insurance, your resale value of the car, a whole bundle of things, simply by quitting smoking. And you take $6,000 a year and add it to anybody's budget, it's going to be a pretty significant benefit to someone, especially if they're looking, trying to balance their budget right now.
Absolutely, and just a great idea overall. What's number nine on your list, John?
Well, we talked about earlier moving to a lower cost of living city. This one is to move to a foreign country. And if you don't want to go that far, I've got kind of a sub-item on that as well. But obviously it's less expensive to live in many foreign countries than it is to live in America. People hate this idea because they think about, oh, I'm turning my back on my country. And obviously we're not suggesting that. But you can move to a foreign country. You can live a lot cheaper. And in many cases, you'd be closer to your family than you were before. If your family lives in Texas, you're closer to them living in Mexico than if you live in Maine. And if you don't feel good about moving to a foreign country, one thing that's becoming more and more popular is to go there for major health care expenses. I talked about the other day on my website that Kiplinger talked about a hip replacement stateside usually runs between $44,000 and $63,000, but it's about $12,000 to $18,000 abroad when you include all costs, including travel. The doctors are U.S. trained. The facilities in many cases are as good or better than here. Because they're kind of capitalizing on the business. And you can save 80% off your medical costs by taking a trip and having your health care done there versus having it done in the United States.
And will insurance cover out-of-country health procedures?
More and more are. Obviously, you need to check in advance with your health insurer, but more and more are. And they're obviously seeing the benefits as well. If they can pay $12,000 to $18,000 versus paying $44,000 to $63,000, insurance companies are all in favor of that sort of change.
And what's number 10 on your most hated ways to save money and drive down expenses?
The last one is to be healthy. And I don't think there's any debate that being healthy can save people a lot of money, especially on medical expenses and things like life insurance. But even a funny thing, just losing weight can get you kind of a significant amount of savings for this idea. But one interesting thing I read the other day is I read an article on how to save money on gas. And one of the ideas was don't put things in your trunk because the more weight you have in your car, the harder it is to push the car and move it along and the more gas you use. Well, if you're substantially overweight, if you can lose that weight, not only is your health get improved, but you're going to save on gas because your car isn't carrying as much weight around.
Well, John, I remember reading that same article, and we were paying over $4 for gas, and I opened my trunk, and sure enough, I had some things in there I needed to take out, but I didn't make the connection that I needed to lose some more weight. But that hits home, too, and that is a tough one. Well, John, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for being our guest today on Money Life.
Thanks for having me, Chuck. I always enjoy it.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. John gave us some great ideas today. I really enjoyed them. Well, let me just be honest with you. Some of those ideas I hate too. There are ways to save money that I don't really like, but some of them I thought were just spot on and I actually live out myself. But regardless, what we wanted to do is to bring ideas that would stimulate your own thinking, that would give you motivation and inspiration to save more money, the money that God has entrusted to you. You know, I've said so many times, most of us have plenty of money. We just don't have any margin. And if you start to save it, and if you start to decrease your expenses, and if you start to be careful how you spend it, and you spend it only on purpose, you will find that you have much more margin in your life. And I hope there's something else that you begin to realize as you listen to Money Life. I hope you realize the incredible value of God's Word. I can't think of anything more important to have. You know, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, meaning it gives us sure steps. And it's God's Word that says He gave us the ability to even make money. And as we said in the opening of this program, God gives you the ability to have wealth. And to have wealth and to use it without sorrow or without regrets, to make a difference in this world. And it's God who gives us the heart and the wisdom to use it for others and to bless others and to advance His kingdom. And I hope that's what you're getting out of listening to this program. I know many of you write us and tell us that you listen regularly and you're growing in your faith and in your walk with Christ. I want to close today with Deuteronomy 8. And I want to just read from the scripture and allow God's word to minister to your heart, because I think this is where we are today and a stern reminder from the Lord of where we may be as a nation. It's Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and you settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble you and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. Now you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it was He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Well, I hope that strikes a chord in your heart today. You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again tomorrow.